Okay, well, my name's Carissa Janes, and I am so honored to be here with you guys tonight. Our topic for the evening is fearless faith, and it is just so near to my heart. I don't know about you guys, but this past month has been really heavy with everything that's just been going on in the world and with some personal developments in my family. It's been really hard to see what God is doing, and it's been really hard to find the good. And I also had a really hard day today, so just bear with me. It's really easy for me to get stuck in my own head, and I have been just really sad and really confused. So going through writing this message, God has really used it to minister to my heart. So my prayer for each of you is that it does the same. I feel like it is so important that we have a part of our evening set aside for a real biblical example of fearless faith so that we can tie it together with the amazing testimonies that you guys are going to hear in a bit. Because the God in the Bible is the same God that is moving today. He still does miracles. He is still radically moving the same way he was then as he is now. We see so many examples of fearless faith throughout Scripture, but as I was wrestling with what to speak on, I feel like God placed the story of Rahab on my heart. Rahab's fearless faith in God is where her redemption was found. Her story can be found in the book of Joshua. So to set the scene for you guys, the book of Joshua starts out with Moses' death and the Lord appointing Joshua to take his place and lead the Israelites into the land that the Lord had promised them. So to do this, it was going to require some difficult battles. Joshua decides to send two spies into the land of Jericho to scout the land and to see the climate of like the people there. These two spies ended up at a prostitute named Rahab's house. So this is where her story begins. The king of Jericho caught wind that there were two spies in the city, and they believed that they were staying at her home. The king's men sent word to Rahab and told her to bring the two men out, to which she replied that they had been there. She had no idea that they were spies and that she saw them go out the gates at nightfall. In reality, these two spies were hiding up on her roof in stalks of flax. So I had no idea what stalks of flax were. This kind of stopped me. And I had to look it up. They're like really tall bales of hay. So picture these two guys just hiding in those. After the king's men left, they had believed what she had told them. They set out past the gates, and she went up on the roof to talk to the two spies. When she got up there, she made a declaration of her faith in the God of Israel, and she asked that her and her family's lives be spared in the impending battle. Rahab tells the men how everyone in Jericho has heard of the miracles of God, like how he dried up the Red Sea for them to cross through, and now all of the citizens of Jericho are terrified. She goes on to say in Joshua 2:11, "For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below." A Gentile woman, a prostitute, a woman who lived among people who worshiped numerous pagan gods, a woman that was seemingly the least likely to have as much faith in God as she did. But she declared that the God of Israel was Lord above all and asked the spies to have mercy on her and her family for showing them kindness as they spied against her people. They agreed to her request, and she let them out of her window. So it's important to note here that Rahab's home was actually built into the walls of Jericho. It was a double wall. So there was one wall, a little bit of space, and another, and a lot of homes were built in the space between. So this was a really good opportunity for her to let them out on the opposite side of the walls. As she let them out of her window, the spies told her to tie a scarlet rope out her window to identify her home to the Israelites. As she sent them on her way, she immediately tied that rope out of her window. Immediately. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us how long she waited between then and the Battle of Jericho to begin. But what we do know is that the spies hid for 3 days before returning to camp. We know that the Israelites had to cross the Jordan River and set up a whole new camp, and we knew that they had to prepare for this battle. So I would imagine it was a little bit of time. So I want you to try to put yourself in Rahab's shoes for a minute, because I know that as I read the Bible, I can get caught up in scripture, and I can get sucked into the story. Wow. And I can think that it's just that. It's a story. But it's not. This really happened to a real woman. And a woman who seemingly had no reason to have as much faith as she did. A woman whose identity to the world was found in her sin and her shame. But she still tied that scarlet rope out of her window as a declaration of bold faith in God. Rahab's life reminds us that we don't need a perfect record to be used by God. We only need a surrendered heart. Did you catch that? We only need a surrendered heart. Hold on to that, because like I said earlier, she had no idea when the Israelites were coming. And once they did, they marched outside the walls of Jericho for 6 days. They marched blowing ram's horns with the Ark of the Covenant out in front and many men prepared for battle behind her. And like I said, Rahab had a front row seat to this. It was happening right outside of her home. So what do you think that she was feeling? Fear and doubt? Or do you think that she was completely confident in the promise the spies made her? I would probably feel a little intimidated. And I'd imagine that she was feeling a mix of both. On the 7th day, the Israelite men marched around the walls again, but this time they marched 7 times. After the last time, Joshua commanded the men to shout, and the walls of Jericho fell. Remember how I said that Rahab's home was in the wall? Everything around her was crumbling. But her house had remained. Only God could do something like that. And the Israelites had held on to their promise, and after the battle, Rahab and her family were rescued and settled outside of the Israelite camp. Rahab's fearless faith in God is where her redemption was found. Her trust in God wasn't just theoretical. It was found in how she obeyed and what she was willing to risk for the sake of God's promise. So how are you trusting God more than your fears today? Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." God doesn't expect us to stand in courage and strength alone. He is with us in the middle of our trials and our fears. What opportunity do you have to step out in bold faith? Because even in our weakness, God will honor your faith, just like he did Rahab's. He will rewrite your story through his grace. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Ladies, we can approach him with confidence. We can have faith that he will be with us through the scary and the hard things. And we know this because Rahab's story didn't end with her family's rescue. Later in the Bible, we see her mentioned in Hebrews 11:31 among the heroes of the faith. We see her again in James 2:25 as an example of those who are justified through Christ. And we see her again in Matthew 1:5 in the very lineage of Jesus Christ. Her identity was rewritten in God's truth. She is called, chosen, rescued, redeemed, and loved. Do you believe that about yourself? Nothing that you've done, nothing that you're doing, no sin that you are walking in or fighting against right now disqualifies you from the redemption story that God has written for your life. You, by your faith alone, you are called, you are chosen, you are rescued, you are redeemed, and you are loved by the God who sees you. And I pray that each of you can leave tonight believing in that. Okay, well, now it's my privilege to introduce Emily to you tonight. Not only am I blessed to call her friend, but Emily is a fierce prayer warrior who walks in courage and strength every day. She radiates the love of Jesus, and her passion for the gospel is inspiring. I just know each of you will be blessed by her tonight.
Thank you, Carissa. Hi. Oh, wow. I didn't look back when I was sitting down. And so now I'm seeing you all in full view here. So, yes, my name is Emily Reiner, and I am very excited about the opportunity to share with you all tonight. Picture of my family will be popping up. That's my husband, Tim, and my son, Leland, and my daughter, Grace. Loves in my life. My husband's up there. Only guy, so he's a little freaked out. But when I asked God what he wanted me to talk about, he actually asked me a question, right? He does that in the Bible a lot. He asks you a question back. What gets you fired up and so passionate that you could speak hours about it? Don't worry, I will not be speaking for hours. But the first thing that popped in my head that fired me up is the thought of how the enemy attacks my friends. And you know the enemy I'm talking about, Satan, the devil. And when he speaks lies from the pits of hell, and I see my friends believing it, I just want to yell at him and attack that spiritual nastiness and fight him for them, for you, even people I don't know. It just gets me riled up. But that is my focus tonight. So last month, if you were here, my friend Rachel spoke to you about the Holy Spirit, who he is, and how we as believers receive the full immeasurable power of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes, like Rachel said, when we receive the Holy Spirit, we say, now what? Like a gift we receive from someone we love, we may store it in the back of our closet and let the dust sit on it. It could be because we don't know how to use it, or maybe we just forgot it's there. Or maybe even the thought of using it may be too challenging, scary, or difficult. And for me, it's the fear part. I struggled with stepping out and using the giftings the Holy Spirit gave me, and that can be pretty isolating, ladies. But this struggle is something I've had since I was a little girl. And just like most of you here tonight, I had bad things happen to me that caused wounds in my heart. And because of those wounds, I carried around fear, fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of abandonment, and I also carried around the lie that I was not and never would be enough to be loved by the people around me. It affected my relationships and my choices growing up, so much so that I knew something was wrong, and I started seeing a counselor at the age of 18, and I have been on and off ever since. And then when I got married and started to have kids, I did not want these issues to pour into my children and their habits. So I really went to work. And I took advantage of the freedom ministry, doing what Jesus did, and deliverance prayer, all of which are classes and opportunities provided here for all of you at Northwoods. And so there should be QR codes right here. Feel free to take a picture of the slide. I know some of us are already going to these classes, and we would love to see each and every single one of you women there. But I read Christian self-help books, I studied scripture, and still sought out my counselor. Jesus was healing so many broken parts of my spirit. We were winning against my fear and anxiety, so much so that I was ready to step out and say yes. Yes to the more that the Holy Spirit wanted to use me for. Much like some of you did, maybe last month here at Woven. And while that certainly came with so many great things in my life, it also came with an opportunity for the enemy to go into overdrive trying to derail that. So I'll take you back to last year. One of my biggest prayers was for more friends. Another prayer was for direction on where I should serve at church. And another prayer of mine was for a better understanding of who God made me and what he made me for. And the great thing is, you can never ask for too much from the Lord. I know that sounds like a lot, but I mean, I probably had more that I asked for. I just didn't mention here. And ladies, guess what? The Lord provided, you know, that's how he is. He's wonderful. He loves us. But how? Well, first, I ran into a woman at church that I wasn't even close to. I just happened to run into her, and she actually was closer to my husband than me. And she told me that she was getting her license in career coaching. And she asked if I knew anyone willing to receive coaching. And I had never heard of that. I was like, what is that? I want it. Yeah, me. I'm like, I'm a stay-at-home mom, but I can use coaching in any manner. So I didn't know what I was getting into when I met with her, because I was like, I'm not actually in her career, but let's figure this out together. Technically, you know what I mean. She asked if I knew anyone. Oh, I already said that. Sorry. During those meetings, the Lord revealed to me the desire to be more involved at church. So I guess the ministry was the career I didn't realize I was seeking. And after praying for opportunities to open up, just a couple months later, I got a text from my friend asking if I wanted to be more involved at Woven. And she had no idea that I was praying about that. And then I was also feeling the Lord tugging on my heart to start a small group for women in their 20s and 30s. And then third, I was invited to help lead worship in the prayer tower on Tuesday nights. That's a thing, if you don't know about that, every Tuesday. I think it's, 6 to 7:30? It's really great. And I should have put that up there or something. But I said, thank you, Jesus, for all these opportunities. And I said yes to all these wonderful things. But I did have some fear in the back of my mind. But God had given me the courage to say yes. So I kind of expected it to be a breeze. I was like, I'm just going to serve, give myself with a big smile on my face. I'm showing up. I'm doing what he told me to do, right? I said yes. So he'll take care of it. And I'm sure maybe many of you thought that too when you even just said yes to Jesus. I said just. You didn't just say yes to Jesus. You know what I meant. We thought life would be easy. This will be so fun. I'm serving my king. Woohoo. I've done my therapy. I've invited Jesus into my heart. I've forgiven lots of people. I've submitted to Christ. I'm all healed up. Let's go. But I was wrong. So even after 12 years of healing work, the fight wasn't over. It says in 1 Peter 1:6, you rejoice in this, even though now for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which though perishable, is refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Christ. So we have a reality to face. Our enemy isn't going to stop trying to tear us down until the day Christ comes back. We are called in 1 Peter 5:8 to be sober-minded, to be alert, because your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone he can devour, because the word says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Ephesians 6:12. So that roaring lion was prowling around me, wanting to devour me. I mean, I said yes to these things, so he's not very happy. So during my night serving at Woven, I felt so much anxiety. Am I doing the right things? Am I worthy enough to be here? What do people think of me? I would tremor and shake. And then after the night was over, I would go home and cry my eyes out to my husband. Thank God for husbands. And after our fellowship nights as a Woven team, I would feel that same anxiety and cry after. And then during the small group that I started for the women of 20s and 30s, because I'd never done that before, so I'm like, what am I doing here? again, intense anxiety and crying after. And even when I would meet with my best friend of almost a decade, I would feel so much anxiety while being with her, scared that I'm not being a good friend or comparing myself to her, and I would sob with my husband after that too. This continued for months. I was hearing whispers from the enemy, and they sounded a lot like my own voice. Some of them probably were. You didn't say the right things. They will see that you are scared and not experienced enough for this. You are not a good enough Christian. You don't know the Bible enough. They don't want to be your friend. Don't tell them how you feel or they'll think you're weird. You don't know how to talk to strangers. You look like you don't have any friends. You look very sad and lonely and weird. There's that word again. They are talking about you and they think you are so mean and rude. And they aren't reaching out because they don't want to be your friend. And many, many more, depending on the situation. Do any of these sound familiar to you? The enemy used all of these lies to attack my identity and my relationships. Finally, I told my husband and that best friend I was talking about what was happening. They were so encouraging of me, telling me that these things just weren't true. But I thought, they don't really know what I've done in the past or how this situation went down. They weren't really there, you know? I bet they're just being nice because they kind of have to. Because I was choosing to believe the lies of the enemy, I found myself searching for logical reasons to quit these wonderful things God had given me. I guess you could say, like I said earlier, I made up my own lies. Like I really just don't have the time. These ministries are not in my wheelhouse. Or I guess this isn't a good friendship for me. So I quit. I quit Woven first, but that was the beginning of my quitting spiral. I had thoughts about quitting my small group, quitting my prayer tower worship, and as you heard, I even spiraled all the way down to wanting to quit the relationship with my best friend because the tormenting was so debilitating. She doesn't know that, by the way. I was still miserable, and every social situation, The enemy had told me I was a victim, and if I just quit all of these things, then I wouldn't suffer the anxiety anymore. That if I just quit, then I wouldn't hear the lies anymore. Now you already know what I'm going to say. Those lies and that anxiety didn't go anywhere, even after I quit Woven. I was still miserable in every social situation I was in. But the Lord was working. After I quit Woven, I felt so much guilt, like I had made the wrong choice. But then these memories would pop up of how bad I felt while I was serving, and so I kept on with my decision. I agreed to finish the Woven season, but as I did, I became closer to some of the other ladies, and I ended up telling some of them that I quit and the reasons why. And their faces seemed to tell me they didn't agree with my choice. I ignored their faces. A little bit. They said they would miss me and encourage me to stay. They told me to pray about it, but when I prayed about it, I heard crickets on the other end. Lord, are you here? However, the idea of actually staying on as a leader kept popping in my head at random times of the day, but I kept shoving it aside. I would attend more Woven events, and they would be so hard, but also fun. And around that time, I started reading this book called Hard is Not the Same Thing as Bad by Abby Halberstadt. That book shook me. It grabbed me by my shoulders and shook me and said, I see you running away. It dove deep into James 1:2-4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. I felt it. The conviction of the Lord. It was loud. He was showing me my trial, and it's learning to persevere when things are uncomfortable or new. When you step out, when you say yes, there's more work to do. There's more perseverance to do. But he encouraged my heart that he was doing a work in me through the trial. He was telling me to rejoin Woven. I hadn't really left, but you know what I mean. That same conviction kept me from quitting those other opportunities and my wonderful friendship. And I texted Ashley right away to ask if I could come back to the team, and she rejoiced over me and welcomed me back with open arms. Now, that didn't mean that everything just went away. The anxiety and the fear were still there, but I had invited Jesus into it. And I knew now that I was ready to fight for what the Lord was doing for me and willing to persevere through the uncomfortable, through the fear, so that I could be more like my Savior. I got to experience Romans 5, 3 through 5. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. We rejoice in them, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. By persevering through anxiety and fear, I got closer not only to Jesus, because you got to lean on him in those times, huh? But to these other women, wonderful women, from both Woven and my small group, and my best friend that I kept around. And with that closeness came the courage to be vulnerable. With the help of the Lord, I shared my constant struggle with believing the terrible lies of the enemy and what people thought of me. And you know what they said? Me too. That happens to me too. And so together, we encouraged each other. We prayed with one another. We shared scriptures, worship songs. We bound up and broke off those stupid, stupid lies of the enemies. Some of y'all be like, what are you talking about? We'll get to it. The Lord used my weakness to strengthen my friends and used their weaknesses to strengthen me. This is why we need the church body, friends. That is why we need each other. The lies of the enemy have no power when we bring the light of Christ to them. For the night is far gone and the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Romans 13:12. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1:7. Whoever loves his brother or sister abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. 1 John 2:10. The Lord tells us through Hebrews 10:24 and 25, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day, you know, the day, drawing near. Sisters, if you are fighting a fight today, don't do it alone. The enemy wants you alone and in the dark. He wants you to give up the fight, to believe the lies, to say, this is too much. This is too hard. I am too broken. Meeting with my beloved friends, staying close to my best friend, and bringing these lies, all of the lies, even the embarrassing ones, because to be honest, I don't think I shared all of them before. And then I was like, okay, I guess I should really bring all of it to the light, not just some. So it says, yeah, even the embarrassing ones, has changed everything for me. I no longer cry after every social event and ruminate on the whispers of the enemy. If I hear one whisper, I bind it up and break it off, sometimes on my own, sometimes with a friend. And look, I know we don't all have those types of friends. I didn't for a long time, but tonight I encourage you to either be that friend to someone else or ask God for friends that will do the same for you. The Lord will provide. He did for me. I have 24 or more friends from now being a part of Woven. That's pretty incredible. Yeah. And we have 25 of us leaders that I was talking about here tonight that would love to pray with you at any time. But ladies, it is so powerful when we step into and understand the authority we have to fight the enemy. And so I want to finish tonight by taking you all through an exercise that I do often and something that has been so effective and helpful in my own life. So each of you should have a small piece of paper that was on your chair tonight. If for some reason you don't have one, please raise your hand and one of the leaders will get one for you now. So remember earlier when I used that phrase, binding and breaking, and said we would get to that. So if you're not sure what that meant, well, I'll tell you. It is based on the words of Scripture and Matthew 18:18. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So in Jewish rabbinic, I think that's how you say it, tradition, binding and loosing were terms for forbidding and permitting something. And this is always based on God's word. Yeah, so if you need to take a picture of that, if that's more helpful for you, go for it. To bind is to declare something unlawful, false, or to restrict it. And to loose is to declare something lawful, true, or to release it. So this is where it gets exciting. As believers, we have authority to forbid and reject falsehood. When a lie arises from the enemy, could be culture influences, family, friends, or within, we can bind it by refusing it, exposing it with Scripture, and declaring it has no place among God's people. We can then loose God's truth over that lie by using Scripture to declare God's promises over us. So we're going to practice that tonight, and that's where that piece of paper comes in. So I'm going to go ahead and invite Michelle back up. And I'm going to explain a listening exercise I'm going to take you through. And for some of you, this may be something you are very familiar with, and that is great. But for others, this may be something new, and so I want you to know that's great too. Know in advance that this exercise is not a matter of getting something right or wrong. It is simply an opportunity for us to practice inviting the Holy Spirit in to help us recognize lies we may be believing, and asking Him to help us to replace those with God's truth for us instead. Also, know in advance that if listening for God's voice in general is something new for you, this is a great place to try, and you don't need to be afraid as you do. Our Heavenly Father yearns for us to walk in freedom from the enemy's lies, and we can trust Him to be kind and loving as we learn to do so. So for some, you may hear something or have something pop in your mind right away. And for others, you may hear nothing at all tonight, and both are totally fine. But if for any reason you are having trouble or you find yourself confused by what you think you are hearing, please know that is exactly what our leaders are here for, and any one of us would love to pray with you, explain things to you, or simply walk this with you, through this with you, if that would be helpful to you in any way. So, that paper you have. In a second, I'm going to pray and invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And during that prayer, we are going to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal a lie that you may be believing. And I want you to write that lie down on your paper. So we're going to go ahead and begin it. I'm just going to say this prayer. So you can bow your heads, close your eyes, keep them open, whatever you feel comfortable doing. Holy Spirit, we invite you here in this place. God, would you speak to us now and reveal to us any lie or lies of the enemy that we may be believing? Help us to see where we have allowed the voice of the enemy to take up space in our minds so that we can surrender those back to you. Something may just pop in your mind. And you may even think you were just thinking it, but if it feels true, if it's loving, if it's good, I encourage you to write it down. Again, if you got nothing, that may mean you aren't feeling the struggle right now, or it just may mean the setting is not right, and He will reveal it to you another time. And again, that's totally fine. But we'll just take a moment right here. Yeah. All right, now we're going to move on and we're going to ask Jesus to reveal his truth for us. And I know I said scripture before, but it can also be just a loving word about you, to you, maybe a memory of something that's wonderful about your character. So we're going to use that to replace the lie. So I'm going to pray again. Jesus, again we come to you, asking you to minister to each woman here. Speak your truth to us, Lord, about who you say we are and about your love for us, Lord. Remember, if you're not sensing or hearing anything that's not positive or loving, then you need that is not from the Lord. And you need to tell the enemy to flee and ask the Lord to speak louder. Your Father loves you, and the truth he has for you will feel good. So again, go ahead and write it down without overthinking it and try to allow that truth to really settle. Jesus, we thank you that we trust in your unfailing love for us. And we give you all the glory and honor for any work that is of you tonight. Amen. But now that we have allowed Jesus to help us recognize the lie and the truth, I want to take you through a prayer to bind the lie and loose the truth, like I talked about. So please repeat this prayer after me. It can be in your head. It can be softly out loud. I would prefer it be out loud. But in the name of Jesus, I bind and break the lie, and then say the lie. And I replace it with the truth of what the Lord says about me. And now you need to say that truth. I renounce any other ungodly or unbiblical beliefs. And I repent of carrying those lies and believing them. I seal that truth upon my heart as a garment. And I shed these lies. I no longer wear them. I put upon myself the mantle of truth of who God says I am. In Jesus' name, amen. And Lord, I ask that you help these women recognize the voice of the enemy and combat it with your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Ladies, I'm so proud of you for giving that a try. It is vulnerable. And we are going to move back into a time of worship now. And as we do, I invite you to take this exercise one step further, if you're comfortable and able. If you can, rip that paper so that the lie is separate from the truth. And as worship starts, I encourage you to come forward to the cross over there with both the truth and the lie in your hand as a symbol of your desire to lay that lie at the feet of Jesus. So you can lay that in the bucket over there at the foot of the cross. And thank him and agree with him about his truth for you instead. And if you're not comfortable or able to do so, then I encourage you to take a moment from your seat and visualize doing so instead. Just visualize Jesus. Go to a place where you feel safe and comfortable and see him there, excited to see you, and lay it at his feet. And either way, after you're done, we invite you to join in worship. And you can stay up front here in the front of the stage if you'd like, or you can return to the seat, your seat. You can sit, you can stand, or you can also take this time to seek out one of the leaders for prayer. And then after worship, we have our awesome Stir Up Your Faith Holy Spirit story for you. So let's go ahead and worship. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. My name is Becky. And this is our Stir Up Your Faith Holy Spirit story. To begin, let me give you a little background about myself. I grew up in a Christian home and attended church every Sunday. At the age of 14, I gave my life to Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. I've had many ups and downs in my faith journey. Thankfully, God never gave up on me. I married my husband, Chris, and we had Anna, Rachel, and then 6 years later, we had Ben. We all absolutely adored Ben, but I'd be lying if I didn't tell you it was hard going back to the baby stage. After being free to come and go for the past couple of years with the girls both being in school now, I really wanted a ministry and to be used by God. Little did I realize at the time, my greatest and hardest ministry took place in my own home. One day as I was sitting on the couch crying and most likely having a pity party, I cried out, "Lord, is this it? Is this the abundant life you promised? I want more." I do not know how to put into words what happened next. It was like the Holy Spirit came over me and he began to make himself known to me. He gave me such a desire to really know him and how he could help me. I knew the Holy Spirit from church as the Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but I never knew what role he could play in my life. That day, I began a journey of who is the Holy Spirit and how does he help me live out this abundant life? I read every scripture about the Holy Spirit. I checked out books and even ordered CDs from pastors I listened to online regarding the Holy Spirit. During this time, verses in the Bible started coming alive to me. One in particular was Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk on wine. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. I've read that so many times, but now it made complete sense to me. When a person is drunk or filled up with booze, they are fearless and act out and say things they normally wouldn't because the alcohol is talking. In contrast, God is telling us to be filled up with the Holy Spirit. He will show us to be fearless and act out and say things we normally wouldn't. Now we are letting the Holy Spirit take over and speak through us. After all of my investigations and research, I discovered the Holy Spirit has always been there. All of the Holy Spirit was deposited into me the moment I gave my heart and soul to Jesus. It was just me not utilizing this power. I do a little exercise now. As I breathe in, I ask the Holy Spirit to fill me full of his power and strength. And as I breathe out, I imagine emptying myself of all selfishness, and I hold my plans for the day loosely in case he changes me and takes me in a different direction. Then I say this prayer, "Where are you working today, God, and how can I join you? Use me." Ladies, the stories that have happened to me as a result of this prayer over the past 22 years could fill a book. They have been mind-blowing, unexplainable, and incredible. I want every single one of you ladies to experience this too, if you haven't already. This is one prayer that God will always answer. Nothing, and I repeat, nothing is because of me. All credit goes to the Lord.
Hello, my name is Stacy. My husband Brad and I had a baby daughter in 2003. Brad worked a lot of long hours at the time, and I was home with Emily by myself a majority of the time. I grew up in Missouri, and that was where my family and all my close friends were. The friends I had made in Illinois all had full-time jobs. Emily was not, did you hear me say not, an easy baby. She cried 9 hours a day for the first year of her life, which is the big reason she's an only child. I was desperate and pleading with God, please make the crying stop. Show me what I need to do to soothe Emily. Put other moms in my path to help me on this journey. I'm lonely, I'm tired, and I feel helpless. The church we were attending at the time was offering a women's Bible study on Wednesday morning, and for a small fee, childcare was available. Brad said, "You should go. They have childcare." I said, money is tight. I don't want to pay for childcare. And then they come and get me because she won't stop crying. Nevertheless, I signed up in hopes that Emily would stay calm enough so I could at least stay for the Bible teaching portion. The first Wednesday came. I dropped Emily off at the nursery, and the nursery volunteers were all very familiar with Emily. Word got around quickly in the church nursery that she was pretty much an inconsolable baby. And yet they always greeted her with a smile and a cheerful heart as I would transfer my crying baby from my arms to theirs. I then proceeded to the restroom, sitting in a stall, trying to hold back my own tears, whispering a prayer to God. Please calm Emily's body and spirit so that I may be able to stay the duration of the teaching and small group time, Lord. I'm not trying to be selfish, but I am drained. I really, really need this today. Praise the Lord. The nursery workers didn't come get me during the Bible teaching, and it was time to break into our small groups. I joined the group I was assigned to, recognizing most of the ladies in the group from nursery drop-off. We went around the room and introduced ourselves. Becky was the oldest mom there. I'm sorry, that made me lose my place. She had three children, two school-age daughters, and a 2.5-year-old son. I thought to myself as I looked around at the rest of us young moms, why did they put her in our group? She isn't our age.
Remember my prayer, where are you working, God, and how can I join you? What I want to share tonight is the very first time the Holy Spirit nudged me to join him in his work. When Ben was 2.5 years old, I decided to join a women's Bible study again at my church. As I took my place at the small group table, all these young moms started coming in. When we got ready to start, I said to myself, this is weird. I'm the oldest mom here by 8 to 10 years. I'm in a whole different season of life than them. What do I have in common with them? Then as everyone went around the room introducing themselves, I started to realize they too had either a 1 or a 2-year-old child. I guess I did have something in common. After we talked and discussed the lesson, we packed up to head home. Then it came, my first Holy Spirit nudge. In my head popped, ask Stacy to come home with you for lunch. I had so many thoughts about this. First, I had never seen her before in my whole life. What would we eat? My house is an absolute wreck. I knew what it looked like. It was bad. What would she think of me as a housekeeper? I had every reason to dismiss this thought that popped into my mind. Suddenly, I knew it was from the Holy Spirit because I had lots of excuses. For all my excuses, the Holy Spirit did not relent. A small voice in my head said, you have leftovers, invite her. Having this Holy Spirit awareness now, I obeyed. Hi, Stacy, right? Would you and your daughter like to come over now and eat lunch at my house? Nothing fancy, just leftover spaghetti.
Did she just invite me to her house for lunch? What do I say? I explained, I don't think that's a good idea. Emily is a very fussy baby. She will cry the whole time. Becky said, no big deal. I'm used to crying babies. I'm also thinking to myself, who invites a total stranger over for lunch? Especially when she's offering to have leftovers. I agreed to go over to her house. She gave me her address, and then I drive directly to my house. I call my husband at work. Brad answers. I said, Brad, do you know Becky Meyer? She used to be Becky Isabel. He said, I know of her. I said, well, she invited me and Emily over for lunch today. He said, you should go. This is what you've been praying for. I said, Emily's going to cry the whole time. He said, go. I think it would be good for you. So I put Emily back in the car, and we drove over to Becky's house. I was fearful that Becky would see me as a failure of a mom because I couldn't get my baby to stop crying. I reminded myself that this is what I have been praying for, and I needed to trust God and go over to this stranger's house. Yes, I was nearly paralyzed with fear of the unknown, and yet something was telling me I needed to go. I did not want to go. Number one, I don't like leftovers. Number two, she was the oldest mom in the room. And I wanted to befriend someone with a girl the same age as Emily. Her youngest was a 2.5-year-old boy. I'm praying as I'm driving over to Becky's, God, is this really what you want me to do? Then I was reminded by the Holy Spirit that he allowed me to stay both the duration of the teaching and small group time, and because of that, I received this lunch invitation. We arrived at Becky's house, and she really was warming up leftover spaghetti. I looked around her living room, and there wasn't a place to sit. It was covered with folded laundry. The kitchen counter was covered in mail and school papers. There were stacks everywhere, but her house was clean. However, I was thinking to myself, if I knew my house looked like this, I wouldn't have invited a friend over, yet alone a total stranger. And yet peace fell over me, knowing that she did invite me into her home, knowing that she had laundry to put away and mail to sort through. It made me not feel so inadequate in my role as a wife and a mom. I'm eating leftover spaghetti in a stranger's home that is in disarray, and yet a feeling of peace and comfort. I have a feeling of peace and comfort knowing that God orchestrated it all. When we finished eating, I thanked Becky and I told her I needed to go home and put Emily down for her nap. Becky says, she can nap here. I said, she cries herself to sleep. Becky said, we'll set up a pack and play in my room and turn a fan on. It'll be fine. So that is what we did. Emily cried for about 30 minutes and then took a 2.5-hour nap. I got to visit with a new friend, and it was a refreshing afternoon for me. Emily woke up, and I said, well, we better go home. Becky says, why don't you call Brad and tell him to come over here for supper? We're just having pork chops. And I think to myself, are they leftovers? Or are they? And so we did. Becky has been a dear friend of mine for 22 years now. That is Emily's wedding day. That was 1.5 years ago. Time flies. We have been in the trenches with each other from cancer diagnosis, deaths in our families, and through the joyous times of all four of our children marrying godly spouses. However, we wouldn't be here today if I wouldn't have trusted the Holy Spirit nudge to step outside of my comfort zone and to go over to a total stranger's house for leftover spaghetti. As I reflect over the past 22 years of our relationship, I'm so glad that Becky listened to the Holy Spirit nudge and that I also listened and said yes. We have an 8-year age difference, which has been beneficial to our friendship, in that Becky had already had life experiences with her own daughters that she was then able to help me navigate through similar life experiences when Emily was going through them a few years later. Choosing to say yes to this Holy Spirit nudge, I was stepping out in faith and trusting that God was going to be there with me every step of the way. One of the ways that helps me discern whether it is the Holy Spirit nudge or if it is my own desire is that the Holy Spirit very often prompts me to do things that go against my natural inclination. So a couple things I ask myself is this. Number one, is this contrary to my natural inclination? Number two, does this nudge line up with Scripture, or is this my carnal self-desire? Important thing to remember is that God would never ask us to do something that isn't aligned with Him. These nudges are often God trying to get me to be more fully aligned with his purpose for my life. Trust God's direction, even if it means stepping outside of your comfort zone. I have learned that God is calling me to do only what I know how to do, and he will do the rest. The next time you are feeling a gentle, persistent pull, lean in and listen to God. My name is Stacy Peterson. We have one adult daughter that is 22 years old, a child of God, and she's our pride and joy.
Our testimony is told to encourage all of you ladies to be fearless. I'm sure in this room, in this size of room, there are those of you watching online even that haven't taken the first step of inviting Jesus into your life. It's as easy as ABC. A is admit you're a sinner. B, believe that Jesus came and died on the cross for your sin. C, confess Jesus as your Savior and Lord. When you do this, the Holy Spirit will come in and take up residence in you and give you this power and boldness. Please don't miss out on this. Today is the day of salvation, and God will start writing a new story for you to tell also. During the prayer time tonight, if any of you who haven't asked Jesus into your heart or just have questions, come and talk to me or Stacy or any of the girls in the gray shirts that from Woven. And how about you ladies that are believers? Do you give yourselves over to the Holy Spirit's power and control? Are you listening to his nudges and being fearless to go out of your comfort zone? Next time you feel a nudge or a pull, remember, make sure it lines up with what the Bible would want you to do. And if it does, take a chance. God might just bless you with a friend for life.
So just bow your heads with us. We're going to say a prayer. Jesus, I pray for every woman here tonight. For those who don't know you as their personal Savior, Father, let tonight be the night that they say yes to you. For those of us that are believers, Father, may we be daily asking for your Holy Spirit to fill us and to be ready to follow through on any assignment that you send our way. You tell us in the Bible you will never ask us to do anything that you haven't already equipped us to do. Holy Spirit, may you move over these ladies right now in this room and help them hunger to know you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Wow. Thank you, Becky. Thank you, Stacy. Give them another round of applause. That was so good. Oh, I learned so many things. It's okay if my house is a mess. You invite people over for leftover spaghetti. I'll have to try that out sometime. But wow, bold and courageous faith. I love that. What a blessing. If you hadn't obeyed, this friendship wouldn't be. And wow, that was just amazing. So thank you for sharing. Okay, so my name's Erica. The next part of the evening is one of my favorite parts. It's also good, but this is one of my favorite parts, when we take the opportunity to pray for one another. So for the next few minutes, we're going to be brave and bold. If you've been here the last couple Wovens, you know what's coming. We're going to pray corporately as a body, be the bridge for our fellow sisters in Christ. So our team spent time leading up to this night praying and asking the Lord to highlight two specific prayer needs that we believe he wanted us to call out tonight based on the needs of all of you women in the room tonight, specific to the women in the room tonight. So in a moment, I will share the prayer needs that we felt were highlighted, and if one of them resonates with you, in your heart, in a moment, we will invite you to stand up and raise your hand high. We'll then invite other women to come around you and pray for you. We'll have about 3 to 5 minutes, so it'll go quick. It's not going to be a long, lingering thing. For every woman that has their hand raised. In Hebrews 4:16, it says, "So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." So tonight we're going to stand in that power, of that scripture, and we're going to be open and honest with each other and confidently ask Jesus to heal us and help us. But we know this is very intimidating. I've said it before. My pulse starts beating faster, even up here on the stage thinking about it. But it's a safe place for us to pray for others. Even if it's your first time, it's not about saying the right things. Just simply stating to Jesus, plain and simple, what we're asking and what is on your heart. So we ask that your prayers are short and simple. So no pressure to do a long one. And it allows a variety of women to pray. And if you don't feel led to pray out loud for others during that time, it is totally okay. Just listen and pray silently in agreement with the prayers that you're listening to. And that is so powerful. You're coming into agreement with it. So if you're the one receiving prayer, you're welcome to give a very brief 20-second summary of the prayer need. But since time is quick, you just quick summary, and then you don't even have to share any of the details if you don't want to. But it's totally up to you. One reminder for the ladies who are praying, just be sure to ask permission before we lay hands on one another. And we'll make sure that at least three women are praying for every woman with their hand raised. So now we'll dive into the prayer needs that were highlighted this month. When praying, our team was reminded of Mary of Bethany breaking her expensive alabaster jar of oil perfume at the feet of Jesus. In Luke 7:27, it says, "A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears." Just envision that. "And she wiped them with her hair. She kissed them and she poured perfume on them." And I just love this description of Mary, who was just so surrendered and in awe of Jesus that she released all of her shame. She didn't care what others thought about her. She humbled herself before him in adoration. She poured out a year's wages worth of expensive perfume, which others thought was a waste, but she knew he was the king. And she gave the Lord all the glory because he is worthy. So we sense that the Lord is calling some women tonight to give Jesus everything. Every addiction, every feeling of guilt and shame, every fear, every worry, every challenge, and every trial. Nothing more to hide. Pour out the oil at the feet of Jesus. In Romans 12:1, it says, "To surrender yourselves to God to be his sacred living sacrifices, and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart, for this becomes your genuine expression of worship." So that's the first one. The second one is that we felt highlighted are women in the room that are in a season of waiting. He highlighted women that are waiting for answers, waiting for healing, and waiting through breakthroughs. We also felt the Lord specifically highlight women who are currently walking through infertility. Waiting is so hard. But we thank you, Jesus, for Psalm 27:13-14, when it says, "I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. And wait for the Lord." So if this is you, if you're in a season of waiting for healing, breakthrough, or infertility, or you're ready to surrender it all to Jesus and you desire to trust him enough to give him every area of your heart, whatever it is, we ask right now that you stand up out of your seat and also raise your hand and keep it raised so that we can group around you. And Woven Leaders, once women start standing up and raising their hands, if you can stand up as well and start spreading out across the room, we'll have you gather first, and then we'll dismiss everyone else to gather in groups. So if this is you, this is your time to be bold and brave. We're all cheering for you. It's a beautiful just symbol to the Lord and a symbol that you are just ready to receive more of him. So go ahead now if any of those two needs resonate with you. Thank you. Great. Thank you. If you could raise your hands too, just because when everybody stands up, wonderful. Thank you, ladies. All right, Woven Leaders, you can go gather around. We have over here, Tara, there's... Great. Okay. And then other women, go ahead. Everybody can go gather around all the women. And if you could keep your hand raised just for one more minute, just so we know where to go. Thank you. I know it's, your arm might be getting tired. Okay. I'll get back on the mic. Go ahead and start praying and we'll let you know when we're moving on to the next.
Thank you, Father. The Lord is good, isn't he? Right? This is a good night. Some freedom. So we're just going to wrap it up in prayer. And if some of you still need some prayer, please find one of us. We'd love to pray with you. If you'll just close your eyes, bow your heads. The Lord gave me a picture of each of you tonight, and you had a torch in your hand. Picture the Olympic Games and the passing of the torch. I sense that the Holy Spirit is saying, take your torch out of here. What has been ignited tonight, a flame that has been caught, take it out of here and be bold and be fearless. Lord, we pray 2 Timothy over these women as they leave. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ before the world began. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. We bless each one of you, and we just pray that you go out of here with that fearless faith that each one testified tonight about. So thanks for coming.